Hello and welcome to the Midweek St Mirren Show. I'm Savaris Ali and I'm joined today by Dalen Dougherty as we look back over the 4-3 defeat to Raith Rovers on Saturday and discuss what the rest of the season holds for St Mirren. We talk to David Longwell, who talks to us about the under-20s 2-all draw against Celtic on Monday night, and hear about the Paisley's Dad's charity fight night. But first, we look back at the narrow loss to Raith Rovers and hear what manager Alex Ray had to say.
Callaghan looking for the run. He's onside here. Raith Rovers are through. It's Ryan Hardy and St Mirren have went behind here. Ryan Hardy has scored his second goal for Raith Rovers. It's 1-0 Raith Rovers. Far too easy for Raith Rovers, and that's not the start St Mirren would have wanted.
Yeah, you can see Irvin Webster and Watson there are all looking at the linesman thinking he's going to flag offside. Jack Baird's 3 or 4 yards deeper and it's just allowed Hardy to get in there and one-on-one with a keeper who was never going to miss.
Oh, Mark Stewart's just been played through by Ryan Hardy and he has just beat Jamie Langfield. It's Raith Rovers 2. It was a toe poke through and it's Raith Rovers 2, St Mirren 0 here at Stark Park. It's turning into a nightmare here in the Kingdom of Fife.
Yeah, I don't know where we start with that goal really. There were 3 or 4 mistakes in the build-up to it. Andy Webster won the ball back and then he just sort of left it, and then the defence never really got sorted back into its line and Baird and Watson were all over the place, so I don't really know what's happened to the defence. It's very uncharacteristic.
O'Malley on the left hand side with the in swinger to take the corner kick, and it's right on top of the keeper and it's a goal for St Mirren. It's Keith Watson's third goal for the Buddies. St Mirren are back in this. We're creeping towards half time. It's Raith Rovers 2, St Mirren 1,
and they've definitely deserved it. Absolutely fantastic finish from Keith Watson, getting his head on the end of that. The keeper's got absolutely no chance when he's 2-3 yards out from goal. An absolutely wicked delivery from Stephen Allen.
Well, Gallagher is bundled to the ground, but Panathil close a ball and Hardy's in here again. St Mirren are all open at the back. Hardy shoots and he scores. It's Raith 3, St Mirren 1. Same old story. Long ball over the back, straight in, and Raith 3, St Mirren 1 here live on St Mirren Radio. Toshney heads it back. It's Connolly now looking for Hardy. Hardy's on a hat trick here. He's got a chance to shoot. Ryan Hardy, he shoots and he scores. Ryan Hardy, hat-trick hero for Raith Rovers. It's Raith Rovers 4, St Mirren 1 again. Poor defending from St Mirren. Clarkson looks to get away from Thompson, does very well on the left-hand side now. Clarkson looking for support, looks to cut in on his right. David Clarkson, he's got a chance to shoot. Clarkson, and he's scored. It's Raith 4, St Mirren 2. David Clarkson gets his first goal for the Buddies since joining in January, and that was a wonderful goal by David Clarkson.
Yes, an absolute belter from him. I'm surprised he hadn't tried that earlier on in the game if he's got that kind of quality of shot on him. Left the goalkeeper standing still and right into the bottom corner. Good finish.
Marlon in, outswinger, but he doesn't beat Callaghan on the front post, and Marlon back in again. It's Alan Gow. He was a touch for Keith Watson. Watson, and he scored! Keith Watson, he's got a brace. He's got St Mirren back into the game. It's Raith Rovers 4, St Mirren 3. Keith Watson 2 for him. It is dare to dream time. Can St Mirren scrape a point after being 4-1 down? It would be a comeback of mountainous proportions. Can they do it? Come on, you Saints, is the cry. St Mirren faltered to defeat, but my God, did they not lie down. Just goes to show the fighting spirit that's been instilled by Alex Ray and David Farrell since taking charge in December. It finishes here at Stark Park, live on St Mirren Radio. Raith Rovers 4, St Mirren 3.
Alex, is that a difficult one to take considering the effort at the end there?
Aye, we started the game slowly and we didn't cope with balls getting played in behind us particularly well. And for 20 minutes to half time, we were a dominant team and get back in the game. And we just said to them at half time, he says, listen, we need to be wary of balls getting put over the top of us. And we nearly equalised with Keith Watson. Header at the back post and the keeper's tipped it over the bar, and but again straight ball through the middle of the defence, again playing a that's not to play a high line. and we had a 10-minute period where we were rocking all over the place, and then obviously we find ourselves 4-1 down, but you know, we fought our way back into the game. But if we defend like that, we're going to get that all the time. It was rubbish.
You said you felt you were the dominant team for the last 20 minutes of the first half. They gifted you a lot of corners, but they only managed to capitalise on what you maybe look at.
No. I think we create problems at corners. We were aggressive, and we're pleased that we've actually scored for one. So, I'm really disappointed for the boys in terms of the effort and application I've put in, because I've put in a hell of a shift there. But they've had two periods, early part of the first half, and then a 10-minute period in that second half where we just went to pieces. And I was saying before the game that we conceded 3 goals in 6, and we looked relatively solid. But at the 2 periods within that game there, we were all over the place, 6s and 7s, and it just makes it impossible. You come away from home and scoring 3 goals and come away with nothing.
And get an ice pack in his leg. Can you tell us anything about that?
Oh, it's a bit early to say, but it looks as if he may have pulled his calf.
That's like going forward, as you said, but it's a hard one to take, but encouraging to see the efforts.
No, listen, I don't think you can fault their desire, and I'm thankful for the fans that did stay, you know, because they got behind us right to the death, and you know, and we gave them a run for money. But as I said, if we defend like that, we're going to get that kind of, which is nothing, so it's disappointing.
Thanks very much for your time.
This is St Mirren Radio, brought to you by the University of the West of Scotland. Look at what you could learn at uws.ac.uk.
That was the story of the match here, and Alex Ray, I'm joined in the studio by Dalen Dockerty. Dalen, you were at the game, you were commentating. How did you see St Mirren's defeat on Saturday?
For me, St Mirren's defeat on Saturday was one of entire contrasts. I feel like going forward they were excellent. You know, Clarkson got his first goal. Watson, you know, if he played better up front than he did in the back, and it was a bit pretty disappointing considering how well they've done defensively since Alex came in. They've only lost a bundle of goals and over the amounts of games that he's been here. So go to Rangers, he put in a good performance defensively, it was excellent. Queen of the South, Dumbarton here, excellent. So going to Raith Rovers, you felt, you know, defensively, St Mirren should have been more tighter at the back, but unfortunately they were caught out early doors on the first and the second half by Ryan Hardy, who scored a hat trick. His goals, particularly his second one, was probably a fantastic goal, but he could have fit a bus through the defence. It was pretty poor at times, but attacking wise they were excellent, St Mirren. At times as well it could have ended 7-7, you know, like I felt when St Mirren were getting back into the game, Raith Rovers really struggled to deal with them, and I think coming at the end of the game when it ended 4-3, Raith Rovers were really happy to see that out, because if the game had went on for another 10 minutes, St Mirren probably would have got a point.
Alex Ray there mentioned that they only conceded 3 goals in 6, so just how disappointing do you think it would have been for him, given that, you know, he's managed to stable the ship at the back, he really has, and to concede, you know, 4 cheap goals, it seems, and especially too early, it must have been a nightmare for him.
Every single one of them was cheap, all 4 goals, and without slating the team, I don't want to do that because, you know, for what we are here at St Mirren Radio, first and foremost, we support the club and the team. But it was pretty poor, and you can't deny that. I don't want to point out individual performances, but the guys couldn't know who they are, and they could have done a lot better. And I'm pretty sure Alex Ray, the man he is, will have relayed that message to them. And they'll be able to go again for Queen of the South on Saturday. But you can tell from listening to him there on the clip from after the game in Kirkcaldy that he was very, very disappointed. And had they been tighter at the back, they could have really put themselves in a position for the playoffs. And now that's probably gone.
Yeah, no, it's true. And, you know, you look at the table here, and, you know, St Mirren are 4 points off this ninth place with Livingston. Livingston mm-hmm. are in this the playoff spot, the relegation playoff spot. Swinburne are just 4 points ahead of them, and it's amazing because, you know, a few weeks ago we were sitting here with optimism.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it just takes a few results, and all of a sudden it just switches. And
yeah, I feel like, you know, the draw to Falkirk here hampered them as well. You know, they really should have won that game. The goal that was chopped off, poor refereeing. And Rangers have been incredibly unlucky if they'd seen that out for another few minutes. But it's been that kind of season. But I think now, you know, with Alex in, there's really no problems of being relegated or even in that ninth spot. I'd be incredibly shocked if they slipped down. Stranger things have happened in football. You just need to look at Leicester at the top of the Premier League. But I'd really, really doubt it. But I feel, you know, Queen of South on Saturday, they've won here a few weeks ago, and that gets you 3 points, and they've got a game in hand against Livingston, so 4 points could really be seven, and seven could be ten if results go their way.
Yeah, no, you're right there, Dylan, and I'm just looking as well. You know, Alex Rue will probably want to finish ahead of Remshire rivals, you know, Morton, and he will try and get for this fifth place.
I think that's the last kind of, you know, playoffs are gone.
But are they? You know, you never know. You don't.
But I think you've been incredibly. It'd be almost equally as incredible for them to get into fourth as it would for them to fall into ninth. So it just tells you a lot about that little section in the Scottish Championship where they are. But I feel like that's probably one of the last things, motivation wise or goals for the season, is that the playoffs are gone, promotion's gone. Any sort of a cup is gone because of they've been eliminated from them. So without putting the depression in, Morton's left. So let's finish above Morton. Morton have been very showed glimpses of brilliance, showed glimpses of inconsistency. So there's no reason why St Mirren can go and be in the rightful place above Greenock Morton.
You know, I was just looking at the kind of results recently with Alex Ray, and I find it amazing the kind of contrast between what's happened with Alex Ray since he's come in, the kind of, you know, the mentality, and this kind of, they've got a steel about them, and they showed that steel on Saturday. Yes, they lost 4-3, but the times when they conceded the goals, maybe 4-1, and when they were down there, you know, they still get two goals and were possibly aiming for a point on Saturday, but unfortunately they just couldn't get their goal.
I think
goal.
Simply it's his, you know, the words he uses, effort and application, is that he's certainly instilled that into the team. You know, there's one for all and all for one, you know, it's and I feel, you know, they could have buckled in the way Raith Rovers were playing. Raith Rovers had shot them in the arm, and you know, what do? You react? Do you pick yourself up from the floor? They did. But again, it was just a poor defending, let them down. But I'm pretty sure, I'd be shocked again if you see a performance like that from St Mirren. I'm pretty sure Alex Ray hasn't seen a performance like that since Livingston here on Boxing Day. And really then, he hadn't had enough time to stamp his vision on this team. So I would be surprised from an opposition that is similar to St Mirren to do that to them again.
Just going ahead, you know, I don't know how many games are left. I think there's eight or nine. But, you know, looking ahead towards the end of the season and even next season, where do you think St Mirren can aim for? Not this season, but, you know, can they build a team that's worth challenging next season for, you know, a Premiership?
Oh, absolutely. I feel, you know, you've got probably Rangers going out. Well, Rangers will be going out of the league this year, right? So that's one threat gone. And you've got the likes of Falkirk or Hibs will go. Ideally, I think it would be better for Hibs to go out the league. Hibs would be heavy favourites for the Scottish Championship if they remain in the league. Then it opens it up, you know, and Dundee United, there's a chance for them maybe to stay up, but they'll be coming down probably. And whoever finishes in the 11th position in the Premiership. So I think it'll be a very open league again, as it is from this season. But the difference is that St Mirren will have half a season with their manager, Alex Ray, and they have the resources in this club certainly to push on. And they've got an academy under David Longwell, now going to Alan McManus, that's booming with youngsters that are talented enough, the likes of Kyle McAllister. So they have a very healthy blend, and really think they'll definitely be in the big contenders to go up to the Premiership in the following season.
Now, just briefly, you know, we've got a game on Saturday against Queen of the South. You know, both teams must be sick of the sight of seeing each other. How do you think that one's going to pan out?
I'm just glad we don't have to go down to Dumfries. Again, no disrespect, it's just a bit of a taxing journey. But I think it'll be tight. It'll be tight like the last few games. Could have went either way down in Dumfries as well as here in Paisley. So I certainly feel that St Mirren will win the game, but it'll be very tight. And we could only maybe shade one or two goals. Could be 2-1 if anybody's got both teams to score. But I reckon 1-0, it wouldn't surprise me if it's just 1-0 to St Mirren again.
I didn't even need to ask you for a prediction. You've just come out and made my job a lot earlier. But thanks very much, Dalen.
Thanks.
Now, the under-20s player, Barry Cuddihy, has joined Annan on loan until the end of the season. He played on Monday night as the St Mirren under-20s drew 2-2 with Celtic's under-20s at Capello. We caught up with David Longwell, who gave us his thoughts on the draw.
2-2 draw the other night with Celtic Monday night at Capello. How did you rate the performance?
That was excellent. I think the fact Celtic have won 19 out of their 20 games this season, they've only drawn one other, and for us to actually get a point off them was very pleasing. And with 6 minutes to go, we won, and we could have maybe got the three, so no, it was really pleasing, just from the effort, the work rate, the organisation of the players was very, very good. So no, I was really pleased with them.
One of your young players that played on Monday night, Barry Cuddihy, has gone on loan to Annan. How do you feel about that move for him? Good to get a chance at first team football?
Yeah, no, definitely. Barry's been very good for us. I mean, in the fair to him, he's been very utile. His best position is a centre mid, which I know that Annan are going to play him. We've had him play him at centre back at times. He's played at full back at times. His best position is in the middle. But I think it's good for him to get out and get a chance to play. I mean, he's been excellent in the 20s, and I think he's had a lot of good experience with doing that. But just getting out, maybe a different kind of environment and things like that. And I know the two guys through there, Jim Chapman and John Joyce, and I think they'll look after him well, so no, that'd be positive.
Yeah, did. Jim Goodwin playing again as well. How much is it in terms of for the younger players to have somebody like that talking them through a game?
It was good because we played Jim at the back the other night, regarding the players that we had in numbers. So he played centre-back along with Barry. So it was really good. I think his organisation and his talking helped the ones around him. And you also had Stuart Carswell come in and did really well, even though Cammy Housen played a wee bit younger, but still a wee bit of experience, and Alan Gow. It was good that the experienced ones that are there do help. I think we had a good mixture of a few experienced ones, and then obviously quite a lot of younger ones. So it was a good blend. And I say the older ones helped him through the game. So,
Jason Naismith made his comeback from injury, played 30 minutes the other night. How positive is it for the whole club that he's kind of back now to a wee bit of fitness and getting a bit of game time?
No, it's great for him in the first instance, because obviously it's been a hard time for him being out injured, but his attitude and his personality throughout has been superb. Even when the week after he got his injury, he's been so upbeat, optimistic about coming back as soon as he can, and to get back in and to play a game like that. He did really well, to be fair to him. You know, we played in the first 30 minutes just to get him. I say that was the kind of allocated time the physio recommended. So no, it was really positive to get him back out there and get him playing. So it was good.
Just your successor, Alan McManus, was announced last week. Can you tell us a little bit about him? Obviously, he's worked with you for the past couple of years.
Yeah, Alan's been in our academy for about 5 years now. He obviously used to play. He was assistant manager at Morton, which will hold that against him for a while. But he's come in and worked with my 17s or 15s over the past number of years. Good lad, good attitude towards obviously working and trying to improve things. And I think it's a positive step. I think it's a good opportunity for him. I think it's good for the football club. It keeps a bit of continuity when you see the amount of players that we have progressed through. He's actually worked with a number of them. And just to try and keep that same sort of standard against through, I think he's the right appointment. So.
And just finally, it's your last game on Tuesday against Falkirk. How's that going to be for you?
Interesting, absolutely, but surreal. So I will see how it goes. It's been good. The boys have been excellent this year. I think people going about the 20s league, and it fascinates me, Mark Warburton and these other people talking about it recently, which I don't really think they've got a proper take on it. I think it's very, very positive, and a lot of nonsense about I'll go back to reserves. It is a reserve league. You need to look at it. It's a reserve league as it is. It just doesn't have the name reserves. So all these people that are out in the press and talking about things they don't really know about, I say it fascinates me, because it is a reserve league as it is at the moment. It just doesn't have the name of a reserve league. And I say it's been good for the point of view this season, how well these boys have actually done and how they've coped with it, because they haven't played majority of the time against older players. I think the other night's the first time we've actually used four or five older ones. We've only used maybe two different times or three max. So not a bit, it'll be surreal for me, for being here for such a long time. And but I hopefully go and they get a positive performance, and if they get a result, it's a bonus. So.
Perfect.
That was David Longwell there. Dalen, a fantastic result for the under-20s, given that, you know, they played some top-quality opposition and Celtic did have some first-teamers out there.
Yeah, I believe they had the likes of Ryan Christie, Tom Rogic, Scott Allen, you know, players that should be in Celtic's first team. So, that's incredible, you know, for to be almost winning it. And then Celtic equalised, as I'm led to believe.
They scored two in I think a minute.
Yeah,
that was it.
Absolutely.
And then Alan
Gow
goes and gets a late equaliser for
something. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's incredible. You know, they're really a credit to the club, and you know, it's just excellent. You know, and David Longwell's done a fantastic job in his role, and you know, he'll be sorely missed.
Now, of course, St Mirren had some first teamers playing. They had Jim Goodwin and Stuart Carswell, Cameron Housen. But maybe the most important name that I've not mentioned yet is Jason Naismith. He lasted for 30 minutes on Monday. How important is it for St Mirren to get Jason back?
I know some of the boys around, they do this St Mirren radio. He's, you know, he's been on St Mirren TV. He's been part of commentating, but I feel his best position is certainly on the park. I know he quite enjoys the media work, but he's incredibly important to get back. He's a very, very talented player on the likes of in the same kind of age group as John McGinn and that. And so he's got a good, I think, seen on Twitter, he had a bit of back and forth, you know, thanking people for his for the kind of support that he had. John McGinn was one of them. Glad to see him back. Jimmy Langfield another. So it's good to see him back. I mean, he's a captain figure in this club, and he'll probably take the armband when he comes back, but it's incredibly great to see him back after such a horrendous injury.
Of course, David Longwell's done a fantastic job at St Mirren. His last game is on Tuesday against Falkirk. If St Mirren fans want to come along, it's at the Paisley 2021 Stadium. I don't know if we've got a confirmed time so far, but it will be here in Paisley. His replacement, though, has been announced in the last few weeks. Alan McManus, what are your thoughts on him?
Well, I think Alan's a good... you know, introduction, you know, as I said, David said he was a assistant at Morton. He's obviously worked with David, so I think he'll be carrying on that kind of vision that David Longwell's had, and carrying on the success that the academy's had. Again, we've said this a few times, it's a credit to the club, and it's one of the best academies in Scotland, especially out with the big two in Glasgow, and it's one of the I think it's got 5 stars, and only Celtic and Rangers have got that as well in Scotland, so it just tells you how well they're doing here, and the great players. And if you're young and you're certainly getting touted by these clubs, maybe it's worthwhile knocking back the likes of Celtic and Rangers, where you get lost in the crowd of faces, and maybe going to St Mirren, where you are as a person as well as a talented player, is nurtured. And I think that's the type of vision David Longwell has, and he'll be sorely missed. But good on him going to America. I think we're all a bit jealous.
Now, as we head towards the 3rd anniversary of St Mirren's League Cup win, the club are looking to celebrate St Mirren's Day as the Saints take on Queen of the South this Saturday at the Paisley 2021 Stadium. The club want to get as many buddies into the stadium for the day and are looking to fill the north stand up with St Mirren fans, as the travelling support fans will be allocated sections W6 and W7 in the west stand. So to try and encourage fans along, the club are offering a deal for season ticket holders to bring a buddy. Season ticket holders will be able to purchase 2 adult tickets at the cost of £5 per ticket, and these tickets will only be for the north stand. Please note that season ticket holders will be still required to sit in their own seat, and if they wish to take up the offer, they must contact the St Mirren ticket office no later than Friday the 11th of March. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at St Mirren Radio, and you can also follow us on the official account at St Mirren Official. You can like us on Facebook, just search SMFC TV Radio. And the St Mirren Show is available to download on iTunes, iTunes podcast store, sorry, where you can subscribe and download for free.
This is St Mirren Radio, brought to you by the University of the West of Scotland. Look at what you could learn at uws.ac.uk.
James Murphy, Paisley Dad, is hosting a charity fight night in aid to raise funds to fight cancer. The midweek's Submarine Show producer, Paul Riley, caught up with James to find out more.
So, James, just tell me a wee bit about the event then.
The event is happening on April the 10th, which is a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock in the Paisley Goon Leisure Centre.
So what is the whole reason behind you doing this event?
The whole reason behind this event is because a close friend of ours has a young child, a young boy, named Mitchell, who's seriously not well. And the event mainly is for him and the rest of the people in the cancer unit over at the Southern General to make their life a bit easier by contributing some money into the funding to support the hall and the kids in the unit itself. Mm.
So what will be taking place in the event?
A whole variety of things on the day. There'll be kickboxing there, boxing, Muay Thai, Taekwondo. There's a few Scottish specialist wrestlers taking part. There's a couple of dance acts taking part. We've got Britain's champion Keep You Up guy. And we've also got Scotland's champion arm wrestler guy as well. There's a whole loads of wee extras that I don't want to come forward just now because it's a wee surprise for the crowd. But it'll be a good eventful day. It's not just about the one thing. It's about all different sports.
Why do you think those particular sports and events will help raise money for the cause?
Basically because it's a fight for life cause. Mm. We've called it Fight for Life, Fight Cancer. And obviously, like fighting or boxing or karate or any other martial arts, stuff like that. Every sport, you're fighting to win, aren't you? It's the same as life. If somebody's not well and they're sick with cancer, they're fighting for life every day. So blend the two of them in together, it's all about fighting and keeping your fitness going and hopefully everybody will get through it.
Is it just local fighters from Paisley fighting?
No, those fighters come from Dundee. There's a few guys come from Manchester, friends of mine. A couple of guys from Clydebank area, Paisley, Ayrshire, Irvine, two boys from Greenock. The wrestlers, obviously the Gredo, who's well known in Scottish television. He's bound a lot of friends, a couple of English guys as well. So it's a variety of people. There's not just Scottish people involved. There's a few English people involved as well.
Anything else you want to include about the event?
I would just like to thank everybody on the day who's coming to take part, whether it's boxing, kickboxing, karate, taekwondo, wrestlers, whatever. And all these guys have gave up their time and not asked anything in return for this good cause. And hopefully on the day, all the people in the Renfrewshire area can get together, get some money in the bucket, get some money for the raffles, and put it into these charities and make these people's lives just a wee bit better. There's all sorts of surprises coming, to be honest with you. There's all sorts of football tops, Sam Ronaldo, Rangers, Celtic, Dundee United, and obviously the Paisley Submarine. There's a few carpet complexes gave us special prizes, but we'll keep that on the day without spoiling it. Let the folks see that when they come. There's days out for all different stuff, and people will be surprised what they're getting.
The Submarine Show will be back on Saturday from 1:30 as we preview the game against Queen of the South and bring you live commentary. Fans outside the UK and Ireland can purchase a game pass for just €6.99 at www.smfcuws.tv. And we'll be back next week on the Midweek St Mirren Show with a special episode as we celebrate the third anniversary of St Mirren's Day. But until then, come on you Saints.
This is St Mirren Radio, brought to you by the University of the West of Scotland. Look at what you could learn at uws.ac.uk.